Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
The following teaching is presented by Father Cedric Pazegna and is entitled Riders on the Storm.
The Lord be with you. Proclamation from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. One day when evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go across to the other side." And they left the crowd and they took him with them in the boat, and there were other boats with them. And all of a sudden, a great storm of wind occurred, and the waves beat into the boat, and the boat was filling with water. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him up and they said, "Teacher, don't you care if we perish?" And Jesus woke up and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And Jesus said, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" And they were filled with fear and they said to one another, "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Well, let me share my latest email with you. It's kind of a humorous story. I wanted to share it with you. This Minneapolis couple, it was really cold up in the north, and they decided to take a journey down to Florida. And they wanted to thaw out during a really icy winter. And they planned to stay at the same hotel where they spent their honeymoon 20 years earlier. And because of the hectic schedules, it was difficult to coordinate their travel schedules. So the husband left Minnesota, flew to Florida on Thursday, and his wife was going to leave the next day. Well, the husband left and got down to Miami, checked into his hotel, and there was a computer in his room. And so he decided to send an email to his wife. However, if you know anything about emails, they have to be exact. You know, any little period or any little letter is left out, it's not going to work, or it'll go somewhere else. He accidentally left out one letter in the email address, and without realizing his error, he sent it. Meanwhile, somewhere in Houston, a widow just returned from her husband's funeral, and she decided to check her email, expecting messages from her relatives and friends, and after reading the first message, she screamed and fainted. And the widow's son rushed into the room and found his mother on the floor, and he read the computer screen, and it said, "To my loving wife, subject, I've arrived." And the email said, "I know that you're surprised to hear from me. They have computers here now, and you're allowed to send emails to your loved ones. And I've just arrived, and I've been checked in, and I've seen that everything's been prepared for your arrival tomorrow." And then it said, "Looking forward to seeing you then. Hope your journey is as uneventful as mine was. P.S. It sure is really hot down here." It's a crazy email, I know. But what I wanted to tell you was, the reason why I wanted to share that email with you is because we're all on a journey. You know, we may take vacations or we may travel to different spots, but all of us, really, life can be seen as a journey, as a traveling, if you will. This is what how the gospel began. Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go across to the other side." In other words, some of you are in the RCIA program, joining the church, being blessed in the church. And those of you who are watching by TV, maybe you're Catholic, maybe you're Christian, maybe you're not quite sure what you are. If you want to follow Jesus, it's a journey. He takes you from one place to somewhere else. And if you really want to authentically follow him, he'll take you on the ride of your life, I'll tell you that. He wants to bring you somewhere. And as he said in the gospel tonight, he wants to take us to the other side. So really, it's a journey, I like to call it a journey of growth, a journey of maturity, a journey of change. And I was talking about this on Sunday, that really, we got to move forward and mature and change and grow. Because, you know, I talk to a lot of people as a spiritual director, and they say, Father, I feel stuck. Maybe that's why you're here tonight. Maybe that's why you're tuning in on TV, because you feel stuck and you want something to help you to move. Well, there's plenty to help you to move. It's called grace. And where Jesus is taking us is to progression, to growth, a deeper life with God, maturity in virtue, becoming the best you can be. And I have a saying that I really love. You know, I heard it somewhere, and I've adopted it as my ministry. Who you are is God's gift to you, but who you become is your gift to God. I'll say that again. Who you are is God's gift to you, but who you become is your gift to God. See, God didn't create us to just kind of stay stuck and live a little itty-bitty life. God created us to become all that we can be, to move forward, to change, to become holy, and to impact people's lives, to really become a loving person. I like to say this. He takes us from selfishness. You know, when you come out of your mother's womb, you're a little baby, you're crying, and you know, what about me? And you're really selfish. And the journey of life is going from there all the way to selflessness. Now get that, from selfishness to selflessness. And that's really important. So that's the journey that we're on. It's changing, moving, growing. And if you want to follow Jesus, you can't stay stuck. And don't go backwards. Let's go forward. Another word to say is, you know what? It's not just a journey. It's a pilgrimage. What's a pilgrimage? Well, I've led pilgrimages to Israel, to Greece, to Italy, to all these different places. A pilgrimage is not just a journey. You're not just traveling. It's a faith journey. You're moving, but as you're moving in faith. You're believing that God's at work in your life and that the things that you're encountering have meaning because God's at work in you. And it's really important to understand that your faith is going to be tried and tested as you journey and as you move forward. We're not on a vacation here. And we're not just going to Miami. We're going to the other side, folks. We're getting ready for heaven. And God's going to purify us in the journey, and he's going to take us to a new level. And he's going to take us to maturity. I remember talking about pilgrimage now. It's a journey of faith. And this all has to do with going to the other side. One time I went to World Youth Day in Denver, and I remember there was like 500,000 teenagers there. This is back in the early 90s. Pope John Paul II, World Youth Day. I was ordained a priest in 91. I was about 2 years ordained. What a sight to see all those young people. And so it was a pilgrimage. These World Youth Days, they're going to have it in Australia this year. It's a pilgrimage. It's a journey. You don't just go there, but it's a journey of faith. Well, I remember that it was tough conditions. Denver in August was hot. You know, the rooms were small. Kids were all, you know, bottled up together. I remember the time we went to Cherry Creek State Park. We celebrated Mass with 500,000 people, the Pope there. I remember how hot it was, you know, and we were afraid to drink water. And you know why? Although it was hot, we were afraid to drink water because they had 500,000 people there, and they had about 20 pot-a-porties, or port-a-potties, whatever you call them. So it was hard to go to the bathroom. Everybody was in line there. And we were all thinking, this is hard. It's difficult. Well, you know what? A pilgrimage is supposed to be difficult. You know, I've studied the theology of pilgrimage because I've led them. It's not supposed to be first class on an airplane and you get everything that you want because it mirrors real life. And real life is hard and difficult, and there's trials as we journey forward. There's all kinds of different things that hit us. Now let's go back to the story. Jesus said, let's go across to the other side. Okay, traveling with Jesus, get in the boat. Some people think it's going to be a pleasure cruise. After all, you know, Jesus is on board. What's the first thing that happens? You don't have to be a scripture scholar to figure this one out. First thing that happens is a great storm of wind occurred. What's the obvious meaning? The obvious meaning is that when you're following Jesus, there will be storms in your life. There will be hardships. There will be trials. There will be difficulties. That's the obvious meaning. But a lot of people don't get that. And then something happens. You know what they do? They start to blame God. You know, what did I do wrong? Why are you mad at me? Are you punishing me? Well, he wasn't punishing Jesus, and he wasn't punishing the apostles. Folks, storms happen, just like today. I mean, it totally changed. The wind blew in, it got cold. Storms happen, and not all storms are predicted by the Weather Channel. I remember, just to tell you a little bit about Israel, I studied over in Israel 20 years ago and lived right by the Sea of Galilee. It's a very beautiful place. Let me tell you a little bit about the topography so we can understand these storms a little bit. The Sea of Galilee isn't really like the Gulf of Mexico or the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean. The Sea of Galilee, they call it a sea, but it's really a lake. Another name for it is the Lake of Gennesaret. Gennesaret is a word that means a harp, not a heart, a harp, a musical harp. Because that's what it's shaped like. It's kind of wide on the top. It narrows down. The Jordan River goes out the south end. The Lake of Gennesaret is 13 miles long, about 8 miles across. It's pretty big, but it's not a sea as we would see it. Well, the interesting thing about it, it's almost like Lake Tahoe. If you've ever been up to California and seen Lake Tahoe, it's almost the same size, same dimensions. But the interesting thing is, I used to live out in California, Lake Tahoe is 6,200 feet in elevation. The Sea of Galilee is 680 feet below sea level. Big difference. Same size, looks the same thing, beautiful, kind of small, but it's way below sea level. You know what happens? The eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, it's called the Golan Heights. There's a notch in there. These storms kick up off the desert. They come rushing in through that notch, and they get sucked right down below sea level into the Sea of Galilee. Now, you just happen to be in a boat, and you're going across, and, you know, fishing or going with Jesus across the Sea of Galilee and having a good time. All of a sudden, here it comes, and they hit fast with fury, and they're very dangerous. I remember when I was over there, I was going across the Sea of Galilee, and I talked to the captain. I said, you know, I've studied this story about the storm. You know, we've all heard about it. Do these really happen? And he said, oh, yeah, they happen. They come right out of the east there, just as I told you. And they come, he's talked about how people have been killed on the Sea of Galilee. And they even have a name for these storms. They're called sharkias. Sharkias. And they can hit with fury, and they happen fast. Well, you know, of course, this whole thing about the storm, really, it's a metaphor. It's a description about real life. And it occurs to me, first of all, let's look at real life. And I hope you don't think I'm a pessimist, because I'm not. I'm an optimist. If you were here this morning, I talked about don't ever say no way, because with God, all things are possible. But, you know, with these storms, this is real life. People go through storms. For example, on a national level, a global level, we're going through storms. We went through a storm years ago, 9-1-1, terrorism. We're at a war right now. That's a tremendous storm. The economy is suffering. Real estate market is down. Some say we're going through global warming. There's a storm going on in our world today. Katrina hit New Orleans. Rita almost hit Houston. You know, these are storms. I've preached in Lake Charles, New Orleans, you know, that whole area. Those people are still trying to recover from Rita and Katrina. And those are real storms. And then, you know, on a personal level, people go through storms like cancer. MD Anderson Hospital here in Houston, full of people, young people, middle-aged people, older people, priests, poor people, every race, language, ethnicity, cancer, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint problems, sight problems, hearing problems, sicknesses of every type, divorces, children that are born deformed, you know, all these different kinds of things. These are storms, and no one can avoid them. Then on a personal level, also more closer to home, you know, I've been going through some storms too. You know, we all do. For example, a few years ago, my father, my dad, my best friend, my biggest supporter, died in his sleep, had no warning. Oh, suddenly I'm thrown into the grieving process. Talk about a storm. You know, I preach down in Florida quite a bit. That whole state is full of millions of people who have been married for 50 years or more and who have lost their spouse. You want to talk about a storm? You know, it's like they talk about a piece of their own self is missing now. They got to live the rest of their life old, grieving, hurting, lonely. That's a storm. My mom, for example, she's 84 years old now, living in Florida. She's a widow, grieving. It hurts. She's had hip replacements. It's hard, you know, and then we just found out a couple months ago that she has termites in her wall. You know, she just spent $10,000 tearing down the wall, putting up a new wall and everything. So, you know, things happen. Speaking of things happen, I've been a runner all my life. I love to jog. You know, I try to stay slim, try to stay energetic and the whole thing. Well, my knee started hurting. You know, you got to be careful if you're a runner because, you know, you only have so much cartilage. You know, I've been healthy all my life and everything. So I went to a doctor. I had arthroscopic surgery on my knee. He said, "We'll fix it right up. You'll be fine." 6 months ago, it hurts more than it did before the surgery. I mean, you don't know what that did to me. I went from running to limping. And it's hard. You know, those of you who have been through things, you know. Not everything turns out okay. And, you know, there's all kinds of religious life. I mean, people aren't beating the doors to become a priest or a brother or a sister. We're having to sell our land. In fact, we just had to sell some land here in Houston. It's tough times. Storms are blowing. The wind is howling. I'm not complaining. I'm just talking about this is the way it is. And it can be tough. Somebody gave me a book about 4 months ago. And I didn't ask for the book. They just sent it to me. I wasn't complaining or anything. The name of the book was called Disappointment with God. And it was written by a man named Philip Yancey. So, you know, I said, you know, I don't know why you sent me the book. And I didn't even read it at first. It didn't sound like a very intriguing title to me, Disappointment with God. I'm not disappointed with God. I love God, you know, and have a lot of faith. So I kind of put it aside. And then one day I just kind of picked it up and started to look at it. And you know what the book was about? The book was about people just like us who had lost a spouse, contacted cancer, had a child born with a disease, or maybe had a child die young, gotten into a car accident, having financial problems. You know, all these different people that are going through these different things, and they felt that because they're believers, that they shouldn't be going through those things, or that God should have delivered them out of it. Or God should have healed them physically if they were sick. So they were bewildered. You know, he did a survey in this book, Disappointment with God. They were bewildered, disappointed with God, and even mad at God, angry at God, because they didn't understand, why did God do this to our family? Or why did God do this to me? Maybe some of you are thinking that as you're sitting there. You know, why did God do this to me? And you're angry. I'm not going to church. Why should I go to church when God's mad at me? Well, God's not mad at you. He's mad about you. He loves you. He's not doing it to you. Life does it to you. That's exactly what the book said. You know, the author, Philip Yancey, the questions were asked, why is God silent? Is God unfair? Where is God? And the conclusion was, God's not unfair. Life is unfair. And being human means that we all have to go through the storm. In fact, he said that Jesus offers no immunity from the storm, but he offers us a way through the storm. And that's why, you know, don't be mad at God. God's not the one who gave it to you. God's the one that's going to get you through. Don't be mad at the one who's going to help you, because God's mad about you. And he knows what you're going through. He knows there's trials and marriage difficulties and problems and sufferings and different things. God knows. He's carved you in the palm of his hand. He understands what you're going through. But, you know, my experience has been, and probably yours too, God doesn't deliver us out of it. He takes us through it. Even Jesus, son though he was, the Bible says, learned, remember, we're growing, we're on a journey, learned obedience. That's the only way you get obedience, is by learning, by resisting temptation, by being faithful, by praying for God's will. He learned obedience through what he suffered. See, now, that wasn't taught to me in catechism class. A lot of people don't want to know about this, but that's the way we grow. And the bottom line is, folks, if you're going through something right now, you've got to understand that God's at work. Don't be afraid, but we all got to go through. So, here's the story. Jesus said, let's go across to the other side. Storm hits. They're all getting scared and everything. Now, where's Jesus? He's asleep in the back of the boat on a cushion. That's what the Bible says. First glance, you're probably thinking, what does that mean? He doesn't care? Or he just leaves me to suffer alone? Well, you know, I wouldn't look at it that way. I'd look at it, I think here's what Mark is saying. Mark's saying, Jesus is in the boat. I like to say, the Lord's on board. What is God's answer to the perilous human condition? Emmanuel. That's a name that means God with us. So he doesn't like pluck us out. He comes down with us to take us through. Remember the beginning of the homily, the beginning of the sermon. I told you, if you want to be a disciple, he is going to take you to the other side. You will have to go on a pilgrimage. And pilgrimages are not always the most pleasant experiences. We are on a pilgrimage of faith to the other side. Of course, the other side being heaven. We're on the way to heaven. And we have to be sanctified. We've got to grow, and we've got to go. But we're not alone. That's what I want to say. Never forget, you are never, ever alone. And, you know, to me, that's everything. I hate to suffer just like the next person, but I'll tell you what, I've found out that there's a mystical union that can occur. The saints teach us about this. A mystical union, St. Paul the Cross, our founder, taught us about this. A mystical, all the saints that you love, St. Francis of Assisi, suffered. A mystical union that can occur through the storm. You can get closer to Jesus in the valley than you can on the mountaintop. I hope you understand that. This is wisdom. This is understanding. So, I don't know if you ever heard about Rembrandt. Rembrandt's a great painter. He loved to paint gospel scenes. He painted this scene. It's called Christ in the Storm. And this is what it looked like. Here's this fishing boat, white-capped waters. Here's this fishing boat lurching up in the white-capped waters. The bow is way up, the stern's down. You can see all these people holding on for dear life. Jesus in the back there asleep on the cushion. Right in the middle of the boat, a man was grabbed onto the mast for dear life. And he had flaming red hair. So, you know, if you count the, here's the 12 apostles, there's Jesus in the back asleep. Who's this 13th guy with the red hair? Rembrandt painted himself right into the picture. You know why? Because he's going through a divorce, he had monetary problems, he was really suffering and struggling. You know what he did? He painted himself right into the picture. And what he was doing was clinging, not to the boat, he was clinging to Jesus. That comes from one of the Psalms. I cling to you. So sometimes, you know what, when you're going through, the best thing, I don't want to say the only thing, the best thing is you cling. Remember what I said? Mystical union. You get a depth of relationship as you go through. Marriages that are tested and tried through suffering are marriages that will last because you've been through together and you've endured. And this is how you grow. I hate this, but it's the truth. You know, I wish it was another way, but this is the human condition. So, and that's why I gave you the Word of God, by the way, as you came in, because you know what? You got to paint yourself right into the picture. That's called Ignatian. St. Ignatius, he taught us to meditate, not just quietly, but to actively contemplate a scripture scene like this one, and then you put yourself in it. You can be a disciple. You can be Jesus. You can be maybe somebody standing outside the boat looking, and listen to what he says. Watch the scene. You paint yourself right into the picture. And that's exactly what Rembrandt was doing. He was clinging, holding on. If you're going through a storm right now in your life, I'm inviting you to cling to Jesus like you never have. And you watch what happens. He'll take you through. He won't leave you. He won't abandon you.
Please listen next time for the conclusion of Father Cedric's inspiring message. We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.